What is a joy to come together and to worship during this time of Lent as we prepare our hearts for Easter. In Colossians 3:16 through 17, the scripture says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God our Father through Him." One way as a church that we let this word of Christ dwell deeply in us is by acknowledging the church calendar. The church calendar really walks us through the steps of Christ as He was born into this creation. It walks us through His suffering as He ministered to the needs of others. It walks us to the cross, His resurrection, and His return. And so as we follow this church calendar, we have come to this point in the calendar where we are celebrating and we're acknowledging and we're even lowering ourselves in humility at the sufferings of Christ in Lent. We're reminded in Luke 9:51 that when the days drew near for Him to be taken up, that is, for Him to be raised up from the grave, He set His face to go to Jerusalem. And when Jesus set His face to go to Jerusalem, He knew where He was heading, to die for our sins, to rise in victory, but to suffer at a great cost for us. And so in this time of Lent, we surround ourselves with a deeper repentance over the sin that put our Savior on the cross. We delight in our Savior that died for us. And we're directed by His suffering way, take up our cross and follow Him to give life to the world. So will the congregation please raise for the call to worship. Our call to worship comes from Psalm 119, verse 57 through 60. I'll read the plain text of the congregation to read the bold. "The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies.
I hasten, do not delay, to keep your commandments.
Thank you.
As Israel moved from Egypt to Israel, as they moved to their promised land, they were given the law of God, the Ten Commandments. And before receiving the law of God, the Lord reminded him and declared his grace. He said, "I am the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." And this reminds us that this gracious God who has given us his Ten Commandments is a God who delivers us from our sin. And so we will go now and have a confession of sin together. We will declare our sin in the presence of God. And I will pray on behalf of us with the Ten Commandments. And will the congregation, you will respond and respond in this deep cry of deliverance. And you'll notice that this cry is the cry of the preamble in the Ten Commandments, crying out to the Lord our Deliverer to forgive us. So I'll read the plain text, the congregation will read the bold. "You have called us to love you first and foremost, but we have had other gods before you."
Jesus, you are the Lord our God. Forgive us and deliver us from our slavery to sin.
"You have called us to worship you alone, but we have created, bowed down, and worshipped other gods."
Jesus, you are the Lord our God. Forgive us and deliver us from our slavery to sin.
"You have called us to represent your name in all we do, but we have taken the name of the Lord our God in vain."
Jesus, you are the Lord our God. Forgive us and deliver us from our slavery to sin.
"You have called us to remember the Sabbath and rest in the Lord our Creator and Redeemer, but we have worked every day without resting and acknowledging you."
Jesus, you are the Lord our God. Forgive us and deliver us from our slavery to sin.
"You have called us to honor all authorities, but we have not honored our father and mother and leaders over us."
Jesus, you are the Lord our God. Forgive us.
"You have called us to love each other, even our enemies, but we have murdered and hated those who bear your image."
Jesus, you are the Lord our God. Forgive us and deliver us from our slavery to sin.
"You have called us to keep our vows before you, our covenant Lord, and our spouses, but we have committed adultery and lusted after others."
Jesus, you are the Lord.
"You have called us to give generously to those in need, but we have stolen what is not ours."
Jesus, you are the Lord our God. Forgive us and deliver us from our slavery to sin.
"You have called us to speak the truth no matter the cost, but we have spoken lies."
Jesus, you are the Lord our God. Forgive us and deliver us from our slavery to sin.
"You have called us to be content with what you provide, but we have coveted our neighbor's belongings."
Jesus, you are the Lord our God. Forgive us and deliver us from our slavery to sin.
Well, the good news in the gospel is that our Jesus, our Savior, the one who came to die for us, he does deliver us. And he does forgive us from our slavery to sin. We have this assurance in Micah 7, verse 18 through 19. Hear this gospel promise for all who trust in Jesus to deliver them and forgive us. "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." You see, beloved, our Savior came to do that, to rid the sin that ruined us, to take our sin to the sea, to bury it out of sight and out of mind. And because of this, we praise our Savior. So let's stand and let's praise our Savior. We're going to be singing this acclamation of praise from Psalm 32. This will be a familiar tune. This is to "Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus." We'll sing verses 1 through 3. Thank you. may be seated. If you have a Bible, you can go ahead and turn to Luke 9, 21 through 27. This will be the text for our Lent meditation this evening. If you don't have a Bible, there are Bibles in front, and it's on page 867. As we read the biblical text in Luke 9, we see that our Savior Jesus has come as a light of revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to His people Israel. His glory spread throughout the land as He healed the hurting, gathered many disciples, and trained up His apostles to carry on His mission in the world. Jesus invited His apostles to come and see His work, to learn and to follow His way, that He might send them out to preach. And after modeling ministry for a number of years, His apostles began to go out on mission. They began to learn more about the presence and power of Christ as they went to heal, to teach, to proclaim the kingdom of God among all peoples in the land. They went in the power of the Lord and they saw great progress. The kingdom of God advanced so much. Lives were transformed, bodies were healed, and people grew a passion for the kingdom of God as they heard of Jesus' kingdom way. Peter declares in very clear words after this venture of mission, and he says about Jesus' identity, that you are the Christ of God, the Son of the living God, the Messiah. It seemed as if the power of God guaranteed success without suffering, triumph without trials, victory without defeat. Following Jesus seemed as though it was a fast track to quick results, rather than a long road of suffering. On the heels of these great triumphs that Jesus declares this odd and peculiar news, the costly sacrifice of following Him, He tells us more about this long road of suffering which leads to eternal glory. We see in this text in Luke 9 that the pathway to significance comes through the pain of suffering. The way to truly save our life is to lose it. So look now at Luke 9, 21 through 27, and here's the reading of God's Word. And He strictly charged and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And He said to all, if anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me. Whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of Me and of My words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when He comes in His glory, in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you, truly there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank You that You in Your grace and Your goodness intensely pursued this path of suffering for our salvation. We are in awe of a God as good as You, who does not smother us and kill us instantly due to our sin, but a God who is slow to anger, quick to forgive, and willing to endure the cross for our salvation. Give us great faith and trust in this suffering Savior, as we look to the day when He will return in glory to this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the movie WALL-E, in a lot of ways, is a parable of the dangers of self-seeking gain. Due to overconsumption, planet Earth has been filled with trash and emptied of people. The human population was sent to live in a controlled environment that is automated by technology, vehicles, everything seems to be done for them. And there are flashy advertisements everywhere that's feeding an ongoing appetite for more and more. Everyone in this world in the movie WALL-E is living comfortably. They chase after whatever appealing advertisement draws them, grabbing the latest fast food, or maybe it's going to a beautiful, warm time out on the beachside in your vehicle, lying back and soaking in the fabricated sun. Or maybe it's something else. Maybe they are going to the next store. And you see throughout this movie all these flashing advertisements. The new red. Red is the new color. You've got to get the new red. And so everyone buys red clothing and red everything. When the color shifts to blue, we got to go and buy the blue. Everything is driven by this excessive desire and need to have more and more, to be self-indulged with gratification, to fill our stomachs with gratifying pleasure. It's interesting because as Wally enters into this strange environment, he accidentally bumps up against a few vehicles and people are shaken from their consumeristic slumber. And they are awakened to what they're becoming and where they're going. In a lot of ways, this season of Lent flips us out of our consumeristic slumber. It flips us out to see who we are becoming and where are we going and where are we meant to go as Christians following down this road of suffering with Jesus. We're reminded that to follow Jesus down the pathway of significance requires that we enter through the pain of suffering. In our text this morning, we see really two different options, two different pathways. We can live to save our life now and gain the whole world. I mean, do you see the appeal of that? You can gain the whole world in a moment. Or we can live to lose our life now and save it for eternity. Jesus forces us into this economic evaluation. We have to consider and think about what is the greater value, which will have better effects. The first path brings quick results, but devastating long-term effects. We save ourselves. We live to preserve ourselves. We live for right now acceptance, right now achievement, right now freedom from pain, right now financial wealth. We live for right now, but we forfeit eternity. We can store up for ourselves these large barns of trinkets. We can manage the discomfort. We can fill our stomachs with all it wants and longs for and delights in. But Jesus warns us of the danger of self-seeking gain. He says in another text in Luke, he says, "One's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. You fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." In the text, Jesus says that the ultimate cost of our right now living is we lose our life and forfeit ourselves. This forfeiting of self begins by missing the full life that we could have in union with Jesus. This forfeiting of self begins with missing out on the presence of God and the goodness of God in daily living His way. Each day spent living for self turns us inward. It shrivels away our humanity and leaves us deeply alone and disconnected from the life-giving God. This forfeiting of self has eternal consequences. When our whole life is cast into outer darkness, suffering the eternal wrath of God's judgment, separated from the love of God which we were made, those who live for self, consuming more and more, will be utterly consumed in the eternal fires of hell. This is no light manner, people of God. If we are living for self apart from Jesus, if we have not trusted in Jesus, then our life is going to be an utter ruin. Many people choose to fast during this Lent season in order to center our diet on the life-giving God. They choose to give up some good gift they regularly enjoy, not because it's not good, not because it's bad, but to remind ourselves that life consists in more than simply accumulating gifts. Fasting reminds us that the good gift is not our source of life. By giving up some regular goods, we proclaim that God is our ultimate good and the giver of every good gift. So maybe one way to navigate through this Lent season is to fast. Not to fast to gain favor with God. Jesus Christ alone satisfies the righteousness that we need and takes upon Himself the penalty we deserve. But we fast to delight more deeply in the giver of the gifts that He's given to us. Jesus shows us a different pathway to significance. One way that is not avoiding pain, but going through the pain of suffering. Now, it's very important that we realize that this way is first and foremost the way of salvation, not a way of life. We will only let go of our obsession of self by fixing our eyes on the self-giving Savior. And we see that ultimately the only way that we can be saved is if someone suffers. Either we suffer eternally apart from Jesus in a hell that is destructive and ruinous of our humanity, or we receive Jesus, the Savior, who suffered for us. Look at 9:22. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and be killed, on the third day be raised. Jesus from the beginning was the Savior who came to suffer, to die for our sin and take the penalty we deserve. But to receive the saving work, we must deny ourselves. We must throw off any self-righteous, self-improvement technique to earn God's favor by moral living. This is not the gospel, people of God. We must deny ourselves and look to Christ's cross, because on Christ's cross, He bore our sin. On Christ's cross, He died the death we should have died. And we first must receive Christ's cross before we ever consider taking up our own cross. But having received the cross of Christ for salvation, we follow the way of Christ, suffering as He suffered for the life of the world. Because why did Jesus suffer? He suffered to give His life for the good of humanity. And so likewise, we humble ourselves. We deny ourselves not our dignity, but our direction. We turn from the direction of living everything we can to get ahead for ourselves. And we pursue Jesus' priorities in all of life. We pursue the life-giving way of Christ by serving our neighbors in need, by serving our families, by serving the hurting, the poor, the down and trodden among us. And this is the type of fast that Isaiah 58 calls us to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Is it not to share our bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, not to hide yourself from your own flesh. So another practice I want to encourage us to pursue as we enter into Lent is, how can you show Jesus' self-denial and denying service to those in need? Look first in your household, then look across the street, then maybe look in your school or in your workplace. There are so many needs in this community. And to navigate through this season of Lent, it is appropriate for us to know the gain of self-denying service to others. You'll notice that there is a sheet that I hope each of you got as you came in. And on that sheet, there are a few options of ways that we can navigate together as a community. Some of you might decide that you want to fast. I would encourage you to choose some good gift that you can give up for these 40 days. Just as Christ spent 40 days in the wilderness fasting, so you can give up a good gift and delight in the goodness of God. Maybe it's serving. Who can you serve in this time? Who is someone in need that you can care for and love? And then you'll also notice, I want us to take time to consider our growth. Consider your sin and your need of a Savior, and let us trust Him to grow us in these things. So use these resources. Use the meditations in Isaiah to more fully enter into the season. But as we do this, we must remember that the path to significance comes through the pain of suffering. Jesus' suffering that saves us, and then our suffering that follows Him to give life to the world. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You came to die, that You came to suffer and to save us, that You took upon Yourself the penalty of our sin to save us from our sin, but to direct us away from ourself, but to the glory of God and the good of our neighbors. Send us out of this place to live out this call. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, having heard of the suffering Savior, let's now stand and affirm our faith in this Savior. We'll affirm our faith using the Philippians Creed, where we see Jesus came to serve. So let's share this creed together. Christians, what do we believe? We believe in Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Well, at this time you may be seated. We're going to have a song of reflection where we consider the goodness of our Savior and His amazing love in coming to die for our sin. And so I encourage you, maybe close your eyes, soak in the wonder of this Savior as our choir sings over us. Know that our Savior sings over us in steadfast love because of His work on the cross. Will the congregation now please stand for our Lent prayer? We'll say this prayer in unison, and this really captures the heart of what we're asking of the Lord during this Lent season. So let's say this prayer now together. Lord Jesus, our suffering Savior, when the day drew near for you to be taken up, you set your face toward Jerusalem. Help us to set our face toward the cross, mourning over our sin that crucified our Savior. Help us to set our face toward the cross, trusting in your sacrificial death that forgave our sins. Help us to set our face toward the cross, denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following you in sacrificial love. As we look toward the cross, resurrect our hope and renew our faith till you return to renew creation. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. beloved sons of God, Jesus paid it all. And as we head to the cross where we see the death of Christ for our sins, remember, this is your Savior. This is your beloved. Receive Him and go with Him. Go with Him to our neighborhoods. Go with Him to the workplace. Go with Him to school and share this good news of the Savior that has come to suffer. If this is true for you, if you have received Him, and if you are willing to go with Him to those places, then I ask you, stretch forth your hands to receive His blessing. This is from Revelation 1. To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood, and made us a kingdom, priests to His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.